All right, please open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 2. And if you are able, you can open also to the book of Micah, chapter 5, in your Old Testament. And while you are turning there, yeah, just one quick announcement. I announced it last week, which is we are going to take a special Christmas collection for the man. There's in your bulletin in the back, and it says thanks, prayer requests, Pastor Hiro Yoshihara in Kyoto. And so he mentioned on social media that he was feeling a bit depressed, and he was having some struggle financially. And so we thought, okay, we'll take a special collection to show our love and support for him, his mission, and his family. So that will be next week. We'll collect it, and then, we'll send it to him in Kyoto. So, that's the short, quick announcement. Okay, I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and then from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And we're going to read together the passage from Micah, the one verse from Micah. But Yuki, if you could go to the Micah slide there, just one pronunciation tip, okay? It says, but you, Bethlehem, and then that word, Ephrathah, Ephrathah, Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Just remember that when we read it together, okay? All right, so let me read from Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And now let's read together Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. The very word of God. Amen. I eat lunch in our kyūkeishitsu, our break room, every day. And while I was eating our lunch, my lunch, sometimes we turn on the TV if it's in time for the news. And so in the break room, we're watching the news every day this week. Every single day on the Japanese news, NHK, they're showing a small group of islands off the coast of Kagoshima. It's called Toshima Mura. Are you following this story? Yeah, a little bit? Okay, so basically, you know, Kagoshima is in, not Shikoku, Kyushu. Yes, Kyushu. So at the southern tip of Kyushu, there's Kagoshima. And then go down further, the small group of islands in the South Sea of Japan, and they can't. Each island, I'm sure, has a name, but basically, it's such a small group, you know, that the name of the town is Toshimamura. Toshimamura is Ju, Shima, and Mura. So 10, Ju, To, Shima, islands, and Mura. So it's the village of 10 islands. You see that? One island is so small, it can't get a name, right? The 10 have to be together, and then that's the name of the Mura, right? It's so small. Why is such a small place on the news every day during my lunchtime, right? So basically, there's earthquakes, small earthquakes, and they're worried about, you know, tsunami, you know? Oh, yeah, magnitude 5, yeah. I'm sorry, the town is small, but the earthquakes are big, yeah? Yeah. Bethlehem, so small. In fact, I'll show you how small in a moment. But 2,000 years ago, there was an event at Bethlehem. It's greater than an earthquake. It's an event that shakes the whole world. It affects the whole world. It's news for the whole world. And so it's this small town, but big news. Yeah. So we'll just take a look at it today a little bit. Go ahead, Yuki, give us the next slide. So Bethlehem, you'll see there on the map. You can see Jerusalem in the south. Bethlehem is about 5 kilometers to the south of Bethlehem. But Joseph, as we read in Luke chapter 2, Joseph and Mary journeyed from the north in Nazareth down to Bethlehem in the south, and it's about 110, 120 kilometers, maybe from Hiroshima to Fukuyama or Kurashiki, you know, about that distance. And for a healthy person, it's about 5 days walk. If you're healthy, you know, you're going 40 kilometers a day or something like that. But you can see they had to go around Samaria, you know, because it's a not a nice place for Jews. And maybe they had to cross the river, but maybe not, because Mary was pregnant. And so they had to go slower. Maybe they couldn't cross the river. We don't know. But just to show you, it was not a short journey and not an easy journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. So just a little bit of background there. So I want to show you the background or the context of the prophecy in Micah, which we read. So Yuki, go to the next slide. So Micah, as you can see in your bulletin, the Japanese translation for the word Micah is Mika, Mikasho, right? Yeah, Mika is the abbreviation. The whole name is Mikaya, Mikaya. And that's why it's Mika in Nihongo. It's not a girl's name. It's Mikaya, okay? But in English, we say Micah, yeah. So Micah was a prophet, and he was preaching to the people about 700 years before Christmas. And he was talking to people about the danger of the Assyrian Empire coming down from the north. They're going to attack the northern part of Israel, where Nazareth was. And they're going to come down, and then they're going to come to Jerusalem. They're going to invade. And you can see in verse 1, chapter 5, marshal your troops now, city of troops. That's Jerusalem. A siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. So Assyria is going to come down, invade Jerusalem, surround Jerusalem, and then they're going to penetrate and take the king, strike him on the face. And then, verse 2, is the message of hope. Jerusalem, Judah, Israel, people of God, the danger is coming. But even in the darkness and danger, God will give us a Savior. Assyria will strike the face of the current king. But God will give us a new ruler. Oh, it's coming. We cannot escape it. It's going to be hard and painful and difficult. But God will get us through it. That's verse 2, and I'll talk about that later. And then verse 3 and verse 4 talks about this ruler. And the word we use is Messiah, the anointed one, the Savior and King. And he says that this, in verse 3, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she, who is in labor, bears a son. That she is Jerusalem. And she's laboring. She's waiting for the Savior, from verse 2. And the rest of his brothers will return to join the Israel. Israel, because of Assyria, Judah, because of Babylon, will be scattered. North, south, east, west, all over the world. But when the ruler comes, he's going to let the Israelite brothers come back. That's verse 3. And then verse 4, he, the ruler, the Messiah, the king, will stand. He's not going to sit and just kind of, you know, let it happen. He's going to stand. He will protect. He will fight. And he will shepherd. Shepherd was the word for a king who will gather the sheep. And he'll shepherd his flock, that's the people of Israel, in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty, that's the word of kings, majesty, of the name of Yahweh, his God. They will have security, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth. Whoa. I need the highlighter. His greatness will reach the ends of the earth. No battery. That's okay. Yeah, I understand how it works. So, his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. This is not just the king of Jerusalem. The ends of the earth, that's the whole world. So this ruler who will save Israel, who will protect Jerusalem, he's not just the king of Israel. He's the king of the whole world. Do you see that? What is the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world. That's the gospel. Jesus Christ is the Savior of Israel and the whole world, to the ends of the world. Okay, so that's 3 and 4. That's the context of Micah chapter 5. Now, you can get us to the next slide. We're going to zoom in on Bethlehem. Just 10 minutes and we're done. Pastor Hiroshi, amazing. He preached 10 minutes today. 10 minutes. That is a professional. Yeah. He can say more in 10 minutes than I can say in 1 hour. It's amazing. Yeah. I try. So 10 minutes, I promise. No, I don't promise. But anyways, so Micah chapter 5, verse 2. This is a picture of the hillsides of Jerusalem around Bethlehem. And you can see this is not grass. This is wheat. Yeah, these are fields of wheat. There's trees around there. And the reason why I want to show you this picture is to give you the image of the first line. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah. Bethlehem, Bet-Lehem. Bet is the house. Lehem is bread. Bread. That's why there's wheat. They make the bread from the wheat. Yeah. So it's the house of bread. A beautiful place for the for Jesus Christ to be born. Because Jesus is the bread of life, right? John chapter 6. He is the bread of life that feeds the souls of hungry men, who is born in Bethlehem. And then Ephrathah, or Ephrath, is the name. It means fruitful. It means flourishing. And so Bethlehem Ephrathah was a name that the Israelite people, they love. It's like, ah, Bethlehem. Ah, it's our bread basket. It's our fruitful place. Our Savior, the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world, was born to give us life, and life abundant, fruitful, flourishing life. And it's a great place for Jesus to be born. But that's not the main reason God chose Bethlehem. So we sing about Bethlehem. You need Bethlehem. If you don't have Bethlehem in your heart, in your soul, oh, there's no joy. Ah, you'll get so depressed and you'll be so sad. You need Bethlehem like you need Christmas presents on Christmas morning. You need it. You say, no, I don't need Christmas presents. It's not about consumerism. It's not about rap. Yes, it is. It's about the gift of God given to all men. And so Bethlehem is precious. Now, let's go ahead to our last slide. Why Bethlehem? I'll give you three reasons. It shows God's faithfulness. It shows God's greatness. And it shows God's Jesus identity. Those three things. If you notice, we sing about David. And we sing about Jesus is the son of David. See, here's the good news. God keeps his promises. God does not do like I do, where I say, I'll be here, I'll do this, I'll go there at this time, at this day, and then I forget. Yeah. You don't know it, but you talk to my wife, Naomi. She knows. Oh, you said this, you say that, and so now my wife knows. I forget. I'm not faithful. I'm forgetful. And so she has to always remind me and send me a text message. Don't forget. Da, 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 da. And I'm so, like, angry. I'm a man. I remember things. No, you don't. You are a man. You forget. But God doesn't forget. So God promised David, the great king, you will have a son, a descendant who will be the king forever. Oh, good. Wonderful. The Davidic dynasty. So who's David's son? Solomon. Good king. His heart was divided. He liked God, but he loved women. And so he married lots of different women from different countries. His heart was divided. And so what happens? His next son, Rehoboam, right? Rehoboam, he ended up dividing the whole kingdom. 10 tribes left the kingdom. Only Judah and Benjamin stayed. All right? So there's Rehoboam, and then there's the other, and then the other sons, other of David's descendants, just get worse. And then sometimes they go up again. Josiah was a good king, and come down again. Asa was a bad king. But basically, from David, the quality and the love that these kings had just went down, 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 down. But God doesn't throw away David. God doesn't forget his promise. He made a, that's the word covenant, covenant, a promise. And so these Jehoiakim, Zedekiah, terrible kings. Terrible. Okay, God, just throw them away. Get a new family. Get a new king. Get a new dynasty. No, no. I made a promise, God says. And so my king will come from David's city, Bethlehem. Listen, I know some of you. God spoke to you. You were sitting by yourself. You were sitting here at church. And God said, I'm going to do a work in you, and I'm going to do a work through you. I blessed you. I saved you. I'm lifting you up so that you can bless others. You can help change others. You can work in the lives of others. God said that to you. And you said, okay, God, I'll do this. God, I'll do this Bible study. I'll have this prayer meeting. I'll help this family. I'll study the word. I'll do something for you. And then what happened? It doesn't go the way you thought it goes, right? And you think, oh, wait a minute, God, I thought I was supposed to do this. And then you get distracted, and then something comes, and you meet new people, and then life happens, and you think, wait, did God forget his promise? Bethlehem means God does not forget. And I'm telling you, maybe God showed you a vision last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And that vision you saw 10 years ago is not the vision that's happening now. All right? So what? Does God throw it away? No. It means God is going to use these turns, these obstacles, these difficulties, these mistakes, this suffering, this evil, this injustice, the sin. He's going to change it, transform it, and no, he will be faithful to finish what he started. I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work is faithful to complete it. That's Bethlehem. God doesn't forget. Don't you forget. Now, does that mean you have to wait a little bit? Maybe. Does that mean you have to adjust your vision a little bit? Yeah, maybe. Does that mean you have to throw away some of the things that are not necessary? Maybe. Maybe. Does that mean you have to humble yourself, maybe. Maybe God is humbling you. Maybe God is working. God is faithful. Bethlehem is coming. Second thing, God's greatness. So here's the thing, that if you look in your scripture, I have a different translation. In the original, over here in your bulletin, it says, though you are small among the clans of Judah, right? And I have on the screen, here's the literal. It says, you are little among the thousands of Judah. When a king goes to war, he counts each town by their thousands. How many thousands of men can go to war? If you have 1,000 men who can fight, we count your town. Your town is counted amongst our cities. And so if you look at the cities, there's in the Bible, they list the cities of, you know, that Moses and Joshua, they come, or, you know, when they take a census, Nehemiah and Ezra, they list the cities of Judah, right? Bethlehem is not in the city list. It never makes the list. because they don't have enough people. There's not enough thousands, right? And so Micah says, you don't even have 1,000 men. You cannot even be on the list. You're like Toshima Mura, so small. But even for you, that's where the king will come from. Why? This is in my way. It's not because you're so great. It's not because, oh, we have this wonderful theater. We have this beautiful stadium. We have this excellent school system and our security and our... No, you have nothing. No stadium, no theater, no museum, nothing. But God will make you great. Songs will be sung. Sermons will be preached, you know. Pictures will be taken. Right, Pastor Hiroshi preached this morning. He doesn't care how many followers you have on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, doesn't care about how many people watch your videos or subscribe to. He looks at the one who has no followers. Ah, I'll use him. Why? Because he knows it wasn't me. It was not me. It wasn't my ability. It wasn't my education. Not my status. It was God. And I have become lifted up because God is great. Yeah, because God is great. The Christian knows. I'm not better than anybody here. Yeah, there's Muslims that I know, better men than me. There's single parents that I know, better parent than I am. Yeah. There's non-Christians, teachers who are much better at coaching and teaching than I am. There's no, we're not better. Our God is great. That's the only thing we have. That's Bethlehem. Amen? Finally, this is my favorite part. Jesus' identity. Okay, so there's a verse there. At the end of verse 2, it says, out of you will come from me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. So, ruler over Israel, that's the king. The king is coming from Bethlehem. Okay? And then that last phrase, origins are from old. Huh? From ancient times. That's not words for a human. Okay, the ruler will be from Bethlehem. Okay, wonderful. He's born, he's a human like a king. Wonderful. God will make him strong and powerful. Oh, no. His origins are from old, from ancient times. So look at Genesis. I saw there. Genesis chapter 21, verse 33. Abraham worshipped Yahweh, the eternal God. The word eternal, that's kedem in Hebrew, that's the same word. This word is the same word in verse 2, ancient times. Same word, eternal, ancient. Look at Isaiah. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. That word everlasting, the same word, ancient times. Psalm 55, verse 19. God enthroned from of old does not change. He will hear them and humble them. Because they have no fear of God. Yeah. God is from of old. This is the same language whose origins are of old. So the ruler is from Bethlehem, but the ruler is God. The ruler is born like a human being, and yet he is God. What is this? It's Jesus' identity. Christmas is God being born as a human. We need this. Oh, we need this. He's born in Bethlehem, so he's human. He's from of old, so he's God. He's human. Therefore, he can represent us. Watch me now. I close my eyes and I think of Chris doing good. I think of a better Chris. I think of a great teacher, a good coach, an excellent preacher. I think of a good husband and a good father. I always fail, right? My thinking, my words, my actions. There's a standard that I want. I can never reach it. Here's the good news. Jesus is the man I always wanted to be. Jesus is the human I always hoped to become. Jesus is the perfect Adam, the complete human being. Therefore, when God, if I put my faith and trust in Jesus, God sees me as his son. God sees me as Jesus because I am going to God through Jesus. And all my failures, all my weaknesses, all my mistakes, my struggles, Jesus has covered them all. Jesus represents me before God. Now here's the even better one. Here's the even better one. Because Jesus is God, and this is what we sing about, because Jesus is God, his sacrifice is enough to pay for all of my sin. It's like and this is just off the top of my head. I need to give you an illustration. This is the best I can come up with. My son, you know, we go to Costco, and my son sees this amazing gun. It's a weapon, basically. It's a Nerf gun, right? And he wants, daddy, I want this. You know, it's this toy he wants to get. And so I said, oh, yeah, of course. And I look, and it costs, you know, a lot of money. And I said, oh, good. How much money do you have? Your okozukai, all right, your allowance. And he takes out his bag, and he's just got, you can shake it. You can hear the coins, you know, shaka, 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 right? And I said, you can't pay for that. You want this toy. You want this enjoyment, all right? You don't have enough to pay. Yeah, I'll pay. I have something better than just a chik-chik-chik. I have the card. Yeah, I have it all. Yeah. It's more than enough. Yeah. I don't have enough to purchase my forgiveness. I don't have enough to pay that God will accept me. And I need it because I sin. I'm so covered with shame and guilt. I have so much that I you just think back and you think, oh, I wish I didn't say that. Oh, what was I thinking? This mistake, and I insulted this person, and I just was selfish, and I didn't think about their needs. And I'm God says, Jesus takes out his own card. He spreads himself out. You shed your blood for me. What can I say? That blood is the blood of the ancient one from of old. That can pay for every mistake, every sin, every selfish deed, every bad attitude, everything. He pays for all because he is God. Amen. Amen. Micah's message is something we need. Because if you put Micah's message in your heart, you will leave this church lighter, brighter, stronger, deeper. God is faithful. He does not forget what he's doing in and through you. God is great. You are small. That's good. Because God is great. That's Micah's message. And finally, because Jesus is from old, he's the Ancient of Days, he can pay for all of our sins. Wash you all of your guilt, all of your shame, all of your sin, all of it gone. Because Jesus is God who pays for all of our sins. Thank you for saving me. What can I say? Great is the Lord. So let's pray. Father, you are faithful, you are great, and you are so good. And we thank you. We ask you, Lord, to please fill us with the message of Micah's Bethlehem. I pray for those who are discouraged that they will be encouraged. I pray for those who are weak that they will be strengthened. I pray for those who are hungry that they will be fed. And we pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.